what IFTF does, the Interactive Fiction Technology Foundation. That is a nonprofit, charitable nonprofit that myself and a few colleagues from the Boston area mostly started only this year in order to support various technologies and services and events that the community that has basically continued and continued to support and invent and explore new directions in IF, as we call it. So this community has basically existed since the 1990s, so IF sort of had its commercial heyday in the 70s and 80s. A lot of people, maybe your age and mine, will remember Infocom, which basically dominated the computer games market especially in the early 80s. That sort of faded out, and basically an amateur movement started initially around the Usenet era and such. In the 1990s, that sort of revived this, and that began a number of technologies and online archives and discussion forums and programming languages and other goodies that allow people to create and share and foster new directions in IF. This has been basically an entire, like a loose collection of technologies and services for the last two decades. IFTF's role is basically to throw some organization and financial support and legal protection around this for the first time. So that's what we were doing. We just started this year, and we're starting with three programs that support the Interactive Fiction competition, which is an annual event that's been hosted since 1995, and Twine, which you mentioned in the intro, which is a traditional FLOSS project that is one of the more popular contemporary IF creation toolkits, and also a project to investigate and report on the state of accessibility in IF, which Deborah can speak to. So that is our initial three public programs that we're rolling out with.
Well, Jason, we're almost out of time, so I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
No, just thanks kidding. A lot. Really happy to talk, as you know.
They let anybody do this show.
You can break in at any time, by the way. I mean, I could sit here talking.
I like really long answers because it gives me time to kind of regroup and think about what I was going to ask next. And I think where I want to go first with this is – I imagine that much of our audience, being the tykes that they are, think of games and they immediately think of first-person shooters. But we're sort of, when we're talking about interactive fiction, we're talking about the other end of the spectrum. What are you doing when you're interacting with one of these games that makes it so different from, say, a shoot 'em up?
I'm glad you asked. So the definition, another hat that I wear is as the organizer of the IF Comp, the Interactive Fiction Competition. Like I said, that's been going on since the 90s. I've been its organizer since 2014. And for its website, I can actually cruise over there right now and read off of the... So in answer to the question, what is IF? The answer I use is IF Comp entries are video games whose player interactions center on text. So if the main way that the game is communicating with you is text on a screen, that doesn't mean it is text and nothing else. It can be a multimedia experience. It can mix in sounds and timing and animation. But if its main facet is text and the main way that you interact with the game is pushing text back at it one way or another, whether that is typing in commands in the what we might call the old school Zork style, or whether that is selecting hyperlinks to choose how you want the program to continue, it's all about text. And that is the main differentiator between what we call interactive fiction and what we call every other kind of video game.
Wow. Okay. So, I think there's probably some people at home going, what do you mean text? How do you know, fire. Is that what you're saying? I mean, how do you interact with this? So, well, let's take adventure, since that actually is the one that I'm most familiar with. One of the things that shocked me when I finally read through the source code of it was that it really only had noun, verb, and sometimes just noun as the entire realm of input. How could you possibly have a game with that little interaction?
Yeah, so you're talking about what we today call Parser IF, and that is aka text adventure games. That yeah. continues to be a very rich vein of very obscure games. Although, again, it was less obscure 30 years ago. But essentially, the way that to use your concrete example, we can talk about Adventure, aka Colossal Cave. The way that that works is so you play an adventurer. And you are in a discrete setting. You are an explorer in this this underground realm, and you are seeking treasures. And you so the game has a map, just like a first-person shooter has a map. But rather than maneuver the map by tilting a joystick around to move your character, and then tilting another joystick around to move your camera, you move around the map by typing text commands. And in this case, you would type go north or enter the house or open the grate and then go down. Actually, if you type in exactly that, you would get a parser error, which gets into the question of how cranky the parser is, but that's another story. You would type open the grate, return, and then you would the game would respond by saying, I certainly don't have all the game's responses memorized, but it might say something like, you know, you strain your muscles and the gate creaks open. It's something like a dungeon master to push the nerd factor down by one level. If you can think of it as a ideally it works as an interactive story where you tell the game what you want to do, and then the game says, oh well, you do this and then this happens, and now a passageway opens, and then you can type in enter the passageway, and then the game says, oh, you enter the dark passageway. But it's too dark to see anything here, and you might be eaten by a Gru. So then you might say, take inventory, which is adventure game ease for what am I carrying? And then it says, oh, you have an unlit torch. And the game continues on from there, ideally.
Right, right. That's, obviously, you're stirring the memories of many people who have actually played this, all three of them in my audience. But no, probably a lot more than I think, because this was sort of formative in the early days of what do we do? And if not that era of games, the whole Infocom series, Zork, and I remember Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I think, was part of their series.
Absolutely.
Things like that. Now, what is the interactive fiction, what is IFTF doing to preserve, I guess not really preserve the actual games, but preserve the sort of culture that this is? What are your projects? What are you trying to get involved in? And as we get more into looking at the IFComp, in fact, Deborah, why don't you answer this question? What is IFTF doing to help preserve this culture?
Well, I mean, Jason's a better person to answer this question than I am. But, I mean, I think I want to throw this one back to Jason, and I'll focus on the stuff that is my expertise, which is the accessibility part.
Sorry, Jason, I tried.
we will absolutely get back to the accessibility soon, I'm sure, because that is a very important question, and it's actually one of the most important aspects of IF, just by the fact that it's built out of text. It is one of the most accessible video game styles that there is. But to answer your question in a frustratingly oblique manner, before I talk about IFTF, because IFTF is quite a young organization, the reason IF is still as, to use a different definition of the word accessible as it is through the efforts of many hobbyists and other passionate people who love this weird kind of video game over the decades. Who have made these amazing services like the IF Archive, which you can find at ifarchive.org. And that is essentially a collection, a browsable collection of everything that people who love interactive fiction can find that is ever IF related. And it is just this amazingly massive public archive. There's a front end to that called the IFDB, which is run by Mike Roberts. That is at ifdb.tads.org. That is exactly what it sounds like. It's a web-based front end of every IF game you can imagine and meta information to help you play them. And its efforts, I name all this stuff because it's efforts like these run by passionate individuals that have allowed this relatively continuing to be obscure type of art to continue to stay alive and relevant and continue to grow in new directions, even after the sort of commercial spotlight, like decades after the commercial spotlight is no longer on it, which is really important. And IFTF's goal, coming back to your actual question, is again to look at all these amazing, essentially hobbyist amateur, and I mean amateur in the sense that no one's making any money off of this, efforts, and throw some organization and production around it, and see how we can just make sure that this stuff stays around and is preserved for the indefinite future.